In Genesis chapter 3, verse 1, "Now the serpent was most clever of all the wild animals that the Lord God had made. One day the serpent said to the woman, 'Did God really say that you must not eat the fruit from the tree of the garden?' And the woman answered the serpent, 'We may eat of the fruit from the trees of the garden, but God told us that the day you eat, that you shall surely die.' But the serpent said to the woman, 'You will not die. God knows that if you eat the fruit from the tree, that you will learn about good and about evil, and you will be like gods.' The woman saw that the tree was beautiful, and that the fruit was good to eat, and that it would make her wise. So she took some of the fruit and ate it. She also gave some of the fruit to her husband, and he did eat. Then it was, as their eyes were open, they realized that they were naked. So they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. Then they heard the Lord God walking in the garden during the cool of the day, and the man and his wife hid from the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord called unto man and said, 'Where art you?' The man answered, 'I heard you walking in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid myself.'" We could see the picture here that where it's sin versus the blood. You see, sin separates us from God. In verse 7 and 8, you will find that. God said, "The day to eat of it, ye shall surely die." And man's been dying throughout generation after generation because sin came into the world. And sin does separate us from God. Our sins, according to Isaiah, will separate you from God. Sin is a separator. God cannot look upon sin. God cannot condone with sin because, you see, sin came between man and God even in the Garden of Eden. Adam and Eve, they had everything. They had the fellowship. They had the garden. They had the home. They had everything they needed. But yet when they sinned against God, then they lost all of these things. So sin is that thing that separates us from God. Sin even made man afraid of God. Notice that the Bible said they ran and hid themselves, and because they realized that they were naked in the sight of God. And sin is the thing that makes us afraid of God. You see, a lot of folks think there is no fear of God in the hearts of man. But I believe that all man, sometime, one place or another, is going to fear God. That's why the Bible said there will come a time when every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess. And I believe there will be a fear like a man has never felt before, simply because there is a fear of an almighty God. Sin degrades the man. It brings him to a very low estate. The old songwriter said, "It'll take you farther than you want to go. It'll keep you there longer than you want to stay. And it will cost you far more than you want to pay." You see, sin not only does that, but it enslaves you. You become enticed, and you become entangled, and then you become enslaved by sin. Now, a lot of people don't believe that you can become enslaved to sin. They don't believe that sin can have dominion over you. It's just habits, they say. It's just sickness, they say. It's just things that you got to get over. But, sir, ma'am, you can't get over sin. Sin's got to be delivered. You've got to be set free. You're the same as a slave. Sin has enslaved you. You are a slave to sin. You are a slave to alcohol. You are a slave to prostitution. You are a slave to drugs. You need to be set free from the crown of your head to the soles of your feet. You need to let God set you free. You see, the Bible said, "Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free." If we're not in sin, then what do we need to be set free from? We not only need to be set free from sin, but once we have been set free from sin, we need to accept that we have been set free from sin and do not live in the guilt trip. Don't let the devil tell you what you used to be. Remind him of what you are today. Remind him that God has delivered you from the power and the condemnation of sin. Tell him, according to the Bible, there is now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. Men are enslaved by sin. Men are empowered by sin. Men are dominated by sin. But once the sin chain is broken and the broad road you're walking on now has been changed to the narrow road and you have been set free from sin, then remind the devil of what you are, not what you used to be. You see, sin is that thing that condemns a man. Yes, we've all come short to the glory of God. We've all sinned and come short to the glory of God according to the Bible. But you see, sin may condemn the man to death. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. You will never get out of sin's dilemma until you're willing to confess your sin. Man's deliverance came because the blood reconciles man back to God. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. When I see the blood, according to the great Exodus, he said, put the blood up over the door. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And today, the devil cannot penetrate the blood of Jesus Christ. The devil cannot come on the premises. You belong to God. The blood has been applied. And once the blood has been applied, then the devil no longer has control of your life. Because you see, that blood brings you back into the fellowship and the realm of God's love. And once you've been brought back into the realm of God's love, then accept that deliverance, accept that blessing of grace, and believe that you have been reconciled back to God. Believe that you have been forgiven. Believe that if you confess it, God will forgive you. And the blood will destroy the fear of God's wrath. You see, no longer is the wrath of God abiding upon you, because when you were in sin, the wrath of God was abiding. But today, the wrath of God does not abide upon you, because now you have been made brand new in the blood of Jesus Christ, because the blood restores the man back to the right standing with God. Now you can say, Father. Now you can say, now you can know him in the free pardons of sin and know that you have a right standing with God because the blood has restored you back to that right standing. The blood will deliver man from the sin of a slave because, you see, once you was a slave, once you were enslaved by the power of sin, but today you have been set free by the blood of Jesus Christ. The blood brings a new life to a dead person. You see, you were dead in trespasses of sin. But once you have had the blood applied, now you are been set free, and you are free indeed. Yes, God said, the day you partake of that fruit, you shall surely die. And Adam and Eve, they experienced the thing that man has been experiencing all down through the decades of time. Because, you see, the seed of man now is contaminated. Every person that is born of woman is born in sin. But once we have come to Christ, we have that born-again experience. He says to Nicodemus, Nicodemus, marvel not that I say unto you, you must be born again. He said, must I enter again into my mother's womb? He said, no, a man is born of the Spirit and of the water. And today, when you are born again, and born again by the blood of Jesus Christ, and the blood has been applied, then you're made just as though you had never sinned before. Blood, the blood brings a brand new life. You're a new person. You're a new child. You're a person now that can live free from sin. I know that you cannot live above sin. Sin's there. It's always prevalent. That old Adamic nature that is in man will sometime lift itself back and cause you to do things that you ought not do. It'll cause you to say things you ought not say. But, sir, plead the blood of Jesus Christ. Remember, you're a born-again child of God. You're a child. And as when I was a child, Paul said, I speak as a child. But when I became a man, I put away my childish things. I believe that we progressively are sanctified by the blood of Jesus Christ. God separates us through sanctification, separating us from the world, bringing us out of the world, and bringing us into his relationship and his friendship. But he doesn't do it just one time, and that's enough. Every day, as I die in sin, Paul said, I grow in grace. And as we grow in grace and die in sin and get closer and closer to God, our experiences get stronger and stronger. And then we realize that greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. And then we can walk that Christian life. And Adam and Eve, when they sinned against God and God came walking through the cool of the day, they were condemned within their self. They realized that they had done the wrong thing. You know, God placed something within you, sir, ma'am. He placed something in us that's right and wrong. And none of us can say we don't know right from wrong, even from a little child. We know when it's right. We know when it's wrong. We know when a stove is hot. We don't lay our hand upon the stove. I mean, common sense. We know right from wrong, even from a little child. We know when it's right. We know when it's wrong. It's just common sense, sir. You're born in sin. You need to be forgiven. Only the blood of Jesus Christ can do that. Only God has the power to forgive you of your sin. So now, the only thing you can do is turn back to God. Don't be like Adam and Eve. Don't lose it all. You see, they lost it all. They lost their home. One son rose again another. They were cast out of the garden, and ever since then, they were made to be vagabonds and roam upon the earth. And today, sin is